Welcome back to another episode of the Camp Aura podcast. I'm your host, Lauren McMillan, and I am really excited to bring you all this conversation today. We are joined by indie singer-rapper Anis, and if you aren't a fan of his music already, you sure will be by the end of this conversation. So here's a little bit about him from Music Source Ones to Watch. From viral driver's seat freestyler to recording artist, Washington, D.C. native Anis has taken the hip-hop world by storm with his mood-lifting, spirit-raising, soulful brand of deeply authentic genre-spanning music. His painfully relatable stories of heartbreak, unrequited love, and growth have molded the hitmaker into a rising star in both pop and hip-hop, and he shows no sign of slowing down. You all, he also grew up going to summer camp and working at camp. And he absolutely loves camp, as we all do. In fact, his recent tour was called the Summer Camp Tour. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. On top of that, this month, so this comes out on May 1st, 2023, and on May 19th, his debut album titled Summer Camp drops. And there are two songs on the album, which are specifically songs that he wrote about his love for summer camp. You guys, you don't want to miss it. So put that on your calendar, subscribe to his music, give him a follow. I love this conversation, and I know that you will too. So without further ado, let's start chatting with Anis. Anis, welcome to the Camp Wire podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is such a treat. So real quick, for folks who are unfamiliar with you, which I personally believe that everybody should know who you are and listen to your music because it's just fantastic. You. Tell us a bit about your story, just broad strokes. Tell us your story, kind of where you got where you are today. Let's hear all of it.
Okay. So I'm an independent artist from Virginia, and I've been doing this music thing full time for, let's call it 3 or 4 years. Before that, I was a lawyer for like a month before I quit. And then before that, which is why I love this conversation, I spent all my time at summer camp. I grew up at summer camp. I worked at summer camp. So that's kind of my story, is like summer camp, delivering pizzas for Domino's, law, music.
Yes. Oh my gosh. All the best things. I love
it.
So you went to law school. I know that that had to be a major decision to get there in the first place, but tell us about, I mean, that couldn't have been an easy decision to get out of it too. Tell us about that process and what was that journey like?
So here's the funny thing. I just got back from tour, and we had a lot of like, what I called, my whole tour was called the summer camp tour. And so all the themes of what we did were like based around summer camp. So at my meet and greet with like the VIP fans, we had this thing called a cabin time, which was what we did at my summer camp. So at the cabin times, I had a lot of questions that really caused me to like reflect on my life, you know, because it was basically just like, ask me anything. Like the fans were just hitting me with questions left and right, personal, business, whatever. And a lot of them asked me like, how did you know that law wasn't for you? Because a lot of my fans, you know, they're working in different fields and, you know, maybe they want to pursue their passion. So they wanted to know how I made the decision. I know your question was how I got into law school, but I'm going to answer it with how I got out of law school.
Yes. All the things go.
So the answer to how I got in, mindless. I didn't know until recently why I went to law school, why I became a lawyer, and why I quit. Okay. But at the summer camp tour, fans kept asking me, and I realized that when I graduated college, I only realized this now. I had been working at summer camp every year of college. I had been going to summer camp to be a counselor or the photographer. So that was like, it provided so much purpose and fulfillment in my life in the summer that I never really felt this sense of pressure in school to find my purpose because I had it in the summertime. Mm-hmm. School, I kind of just like coasted through during college. And then like once May, June, July, and August came around, I knew like, okay, my heart is alive. I have a purpose. I'm serving, right? So once college ended, I was really at a crossroads because I'm like, what do I want to do with my life? And I really didn't know. And I'm good with my words. So, you know, law school was an option. I applied, I got in, and law was never for me, but I didn't know it because even after my first year of law school, I was still going to summer camp and working, like, which all my fellow law students thought was insane because, you know, you're supposed to get like your internships are supposed to be like, this is your resume. Like, this is how you're going to get a job once you become a lawyer. And something in my heart just was like, no, I want to go back to summer camp. So after my first year of law school, I went back to summer camp. After my second year of law school, I was pressured heavily by everybody in my like academic circle, like, yo, you've got to get an internship or you're not going to get a job when you graduate. Mm-hmm. Like, don't go back to summer camp, right? So I listened to them and I went and I interned with the government. I did like two different government internships that year, both in like the during the school year and then during the summer. And immediately that was the first time I think I realized that I was depressed because the purpose that I had found at summer camp that was keeping me sane, that was keeping me fulfilled, for the first time it was completely gone. Like, wow. I had to give it up. And once that happened and I was just like literally like practicing law, going to my internship, about to graduate and become a lawyer, absolutely hating it because it was never meant for me, but not having anything to substantiate, you know, my calling, like summer camp, I was in a very dark place. So the next 2 years, my second and third year of law school, were a very dark time for me, but I powered through it just because I'm insane. And I finished, graduated, passed the bar, and they were like, you're going to have 3 months until you get your results from this bar exam. So, you know, enjoy your summer. And that was like so terrifying for me because I was like, I don't want to do this. And now you're going to make me wait 3 months.
Yeah.
So if I even have the option to do it, and I don't want to do it, but I told myself, all right, Anise, this is an opportunity. Do some soul searching. Where did I go? I went to summer camp. Mm-hmm. And I volunteered like that whole summer. I wasn't on staff, but I kept going back because I needed to be like on the campgrounds. Like, that's where I felt a sense of clarity. And I think I decided like a month into this like 3 month period, I was like, I'm not doing law. Like, even if I pass the bar, I cannot do it, because when I'm here, I feel alive. When I'm there, I feel dead inside. And I know that's very dark, but it's real. Like, when you're not listening to your heart, you feel like a part of you is not alive. And so passed the bar, quit immediately. And then I started to pursue music. And the cool thing is, and this is what clicked with me at my tour, the reason why music is my calling is because I found summer camp again in music. And that was like the biggest like aha moment for me on tour. Like, this is summer camp. And I found it again. I don't have to go back in to the mountains of Pennsylvania necessarily and like pack my suitcase for a whole summer. Like, I'm living summer camp. And so that's how I got into law school. That's how I got out of, you know, being a lawyer. And that's how I refound summer camp.
Wow. Oh, wow. I did not expect that story, but like, what a journey. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's beautiful. And I think you're right. It sounds very sad to hear about like the dark time that you went through and the anxiety and the uncertainty and all of that. But I think it's so valuable to hear, because I'm sure that that's so many people's experience, like whether it's determining a career path to take, or even just kind of highlighting the tremendous positive impact that something like a summer camp experience can have, and how that can serve in many regards or in many ways as something that can point you to what you are passionate about, or just to give you that space of rest and play and connectivity and all of that. That's wow. What a journey, my goodness. So did you going back real quick to getting into music, have you always, like, from a young age been musically inclined? Is that always something that you were interested in? Is that something that maybe you discovered at camp? I don't know. When did that come into the picture?
Definitely something that I discovered at camp. I would say that, like, I always loved to sing as a kid. Like, my parents like raised us in an ecosystem of music. There was always, you know, incredible music playing in the house, and my parents both play music, like, not like professionally, but just they both like love to have like jam sessions. And so like that was definitely something that I was sort of steeped in as a child. But actually creating music and tapping into my musical self I think summer camp was one of the first times that I discovered that. Like, I freestyled for the first time with my friends, not at camp, but at home. But the first, and this, and I do know this for sure, the first time I ever wrote a song was at summer camp. Whoa. And we had this night called Serenade Night. I don't know if every camps have that. I don't know if that's like a very common thing or not.
I don't know, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, we're here for it. Basically what it is you take a song, like a popular song, and you just like change the lyrics to tell a story, maybe about the camp or about your cabin or about, you know, it was a church camp, so maybe about your faith, or anything. And then at the end of the night, this is my favorite night of camp for sure. Like, well, this and carnival night, but either way, like I felt so alive on these nights because there was so much creative range. Like you could take any song in the world, as long as it was like, you know, like an appropriate one, and you could tell any story you wanted. And none of my cabin mates ever felt like they were always kind of like sheepish when it came to like this activity. And a lot of the counselors hated it because they were like not inclined lyrically. So even as a camper, I sensed like nobody really wants to take this ball and run with it. I know, like, just give me a piece of paper and a pen and I will like make the funniest song, or I'll make like the most like creative one. Like I made mashups. Like I went so above and beyond. Like I was so thrilled by it as a kid. I didn't even realize my songwriting brain was blossoming. Like I remember I took like a Sean Paul song, a Kevin Little song, a Sean Kingston song, and I don't even one other song, if that, you know, it, total like mashup, and I made them all like, and to this day, and by the way, I'm talking about, I did this like, I kid you not, like 12, 13 years ago. To this day, friends from summer camp were still like, yo, that Serenade Night song was so cool. So, you know, I think definitely looking back on it, I learned how to be a songwriter. And that's the thing about summer camp. Like kids are given a safe environment to learn what they're meant to do with their heart. And like, that's just so, I can't even describe in words how special that is. So yeah, no. And then I learned, and then as an adult, when I was like on staff, I learned like how to like be comfortable singing with my friends and freestyling with my friends. So really a lot of my musical self was born at summer camp.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I think something that's kind of going along the lines of discovering what you're passionate about and trying new things in a safe environment is this ability to take risks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that that is something that was instilled in you while you were a camper and on staff? And do you think that that is something that maybe influenced you when you were considering law or pursuing something else? Or is that something that is still kind of embedded in you today, this idea of being able to take risks and to have the confidence to do so and the courage to do so?
Yeah, definitely. I got emotional as you're asking that question because I realize now that school was not an environment that made me feel comfortable to take risks at all. Wow. Like at home, like I definitely felt very unsafe to put myself out there and to, because, you know, I dealt with bullying at home. I just didn't have a very supportive social scene at my schools ever, really. Throughout my whole childhood. And then I think that that's why I chose to go back. So I went to camp when I was 9 and 10, and then I stopped going. And then I had a pretty tough time in school. So like, I think at one point when I was like 14, I don't know why, I just decided to go back. And you're absolutely correct that summer camp is like the safest place to take risks, you know, like in every way. I took risks meeting friends socially. I took risks, like being vulnerable emotionally. I took risks, like in my spiritual life. Like you have to, and that's the thing about taking risks. When you take a risk, what you're doing is you're going out of your comfort zone, and to go out of your comfort zone is the only way you can grow. So it's almost like you have to take risks to grow. And I grew so much at summer camp, and, I don't think I realized when I took the leap of faith to say, I'm not going to be a lawyer anymore, I'm going to go make music. I don't think I realized that the role necessarily that summer camp, now I'm realizing it, that those days at summer camp created this sense of sense of freedom to take that risk.
Yeah.
You know, like I can take this risk. Cause you know what I knew? If I do this, no matter what, like my camp friends will have my back. Like, even if I suck, even if my music is awful, even if this doesn't work out, like I will still get like 100 likes on every post. Like they will still have my back. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter how bad I am, they will share it. But yeah, like, and that's the thing about summer camp. Like you, everything at summer camp, whether it's like we had a challenge course, like, or like a ropes course, or like playing sports with friends, or like going on the overnight, like it was all, it all felt a little risky, but you knew you had a community behind you. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I feel now with my music too.
I love that. That's so amazing. And something going kind of along the lines of risk, going back to your experiences during the summers that you were in law school, I think it's so interesting that you chose to go back and work at camp when, like you were saying, it's more common and probably expected and very much the norm to go do like the big time internship and to pursue that kind of career path, which I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but I think it makes me think of this idea. We love to say that if you like working at camp, if you can manage a cabin of 10 year olds, you can run a Fortune 500 company.
Oh.
And we say all the time that like working at camp is almost the greatest job, professional workplace, even like personal development training place that you can have. And I think sometimes it's hard to convey that to people if they haven't had a camp experience, but I would love to hear your thoughts on that. And I think it's evident that it kind of played out in your life, but sure. Yeah. What do you think about that?
People belittle summer camp a lot of times because they don't understand that it's not just some like, it's not just like we're out here having fun. Like we are having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Fun, but we're also growing and leading and learning and loving. And, you know, I would agree with you. If you can manage a cabin of 10, 9 year olds or seven, you know, 16 year olds, or even I think the hardest job might be like 13 or 14 year olds. Like, and I got a chance to take a crack at every age range. If you can do that, you can do anything. Like, especially because the camp counselor age at my camp was always like 18 and 19 to mm-hmm. like 22, 23. So that's you're still growing, you know, like you're still a kid at that age. And so at that age, to be given that sort of responsibility, and to be entrusted with that, not just by the camp and the camp director, but by the parents of the kids, like you really learn how to, be like a steward. You learn how to be a, like in some instances, a big brother or more of like a father figure, depending on like what age you're with. And I think the most important thing you learn at summer camp is how to serve, you know? Mm. And to me, like service is everything. I never felt service was a part of the law experience for me at all. And for some people, it definitely is. And I'm not dogging law. Like for totally. Some people who do like, you know, defense work or work with like immigration law or refugee law or you know, public defenders and whatnot, like that's some serious, like they're putting in some love and some work and it's kind of like summer camp, I'm sure. But the service I found, especially towards the youth, to kids, really, I think told me what I'm meant to do with my life. Because this might sound a little corny, but I think everybody is a kid. I don't think you ever stop being a kid. I don't think, you know, I think we get caught up in society with like age brackets, like 20, 30, 40.
Right. And
sure, like those are your like biographical ages, but that child inside of you never goes away. It never, you know, just because you're now 25 or 35 or 52, the child is still inside of you. And to me, when I was serving children at summer camp, that's when I felt that the inner child inside of myself was most alive. And that's mm-hmm. when I felt happiest. So I think that's that was like a big awakening for me. That was like a big enlightening moment, like where, okay, like I need to find something in life to do where I can always nurture my inner child, like I do at summer camp. Because being around children, you think you're serving them, and you are, but the enlightenment you get back from being in the presence of children is unspeakable, because they have this spirit, even when they're misbehaving, even when they're, you know, just being ridiculous and just being like stupid. Like, you know, it's like they have this profound wisdom about not caring about the things that don't matter, about just being tapped into like what matters most in life, true joy, and just being, and I'm a big believer in energy. So being around that energy for so many summers, like I crave that energy now. I can't be without that energy, whether I'm physically on the campground or I'm hanging out at a, you know, doing a concert with a bunch of adults. Like I still see them as campers. I still see myself as a child. Everything is summer camp, man. Everything is summer camp. And I forget what your original question was, but everything is summer camp.
Yes, everything is summer camp. No, we were talking about, initially talking about the impact of working at camp, but you answered that so beautifully. And I think something I want to tag on to it is if older kids, I guess, those kids that are in like the early college years, kind of that age bracket that are considering maybe working at camp, but are hesitant to do so because they think that they like quote unquote should pursue like something else. What would you say to them?
I have had this conversation so many times. You don't even know. Like I have been tasked so time and time again from camp directors, like, yo, please talk to this kid. Like,
yeah.
Cause you know, cause kids get this pressure, especially from their parents, you know, like, and then like me, I'm like Arab American. Like my parents were very not necessarily traditional, but a lot of the kids in my camp that were also Middle Eastern that were Arab, like they come from very traditional families where it's like, you know, like the survival mentality in their family is very psychological. So like they want their kids to go out there and secure like a job that will provide for them. And like, it's very like traditional, old school survivalist. I understand it. It comes out of love. The parents are they love their children and they want their children to be like, when their children graduate from college, which they worked so hard to send their kids to college, they want to make sure that it was a, you know, something that they don't have to worry about their kids ever. Like their kids will be provided for. And I understand that from the parents, but I have undermined so many parents because I tell these kids like, look, and this is how the world works, especially now in this digital age. Like, you don't need to act like this in 1992. You can go to summer camp, like after your freshman year of college, after your sophomore year of college, after your junior year of college, even after your senior year of college, like, and during the school year, you can do the internships and get the experience. Like, if you care enough to be at summer camp, where there is a will, there is a way. Mm-hmm. And I know that to be a fact. I think like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm a pretty clear example of it because I went to law school. And then even in between 1L and 2L, I went back to summer camp and it didn't stop me from becoming a lawyer and passing the bar and having options. So it's like, I'll talk to kids all the time that are like 20, 21 years old. And they're like, yeah, man, but like, I got to get this internship. Like, you know, it's like, it's just time for me to get a real life job. And I got to go into the real world. And I'm like, yo, who put this propaganda in your head? Real world, summer camp is the real world. This is real life. Like, this is an internship. And by the way, in reality, you with the proper strategy can position your summer camp experiences as very attractive resume builders. Like, let alone from the fact that like you're not doing other internships, like what you're doing at summer camp, it's not like you blew your summer away and just had fun. You built your resume. You did something that if I'm an employer, I'm interested. Tell me about this thing you did. You worked with kids for a whole, and especially my summer camp, like where you're there for 4 months, you know, and you have four different cabins for two different weeks. It's like, tell me more about, I'd rather hire a kid like that than a kid that just did like an internship at some financial firm, like me personally. Now, you know, so I think it's important for kids to realize, one, what you're doing at summer camp is advancing your professional career. Two, life is so long. There's so much time ahead of you. You know, we had people that came back as counselors when they were like 25, 26. Not often, but like even those people, like it didn't impede them from like having a successful life. Like, so when people at 20, 21, 22 start telling me, oh, I'm too old, I'm like, oh, you don't even realize like life is so, so long and you are such a baby. And And the thing is, and I will say this, sometimes you do come to a point where you can't go back to summer camp, mm-hmm. you know, at least in a, like, there does come a point in most people's lives where you will have your last day technically being on staff at a summer camp. Mm-hmm. And so I try to tell these young adults, these young 20 sums, like, don't wish that day too soon. Like that day will come. And when that day comes, you can never come back. You will never be able to be on staff again. You can always go get that job. You could always go get that internship. That is an option, whether you're 22, 25, 28, 34, 72, but like your time at summer camp is precious. So take it from me. If anybody's watching this, you know, like I'm doing pretty well for myself. And I went back to summer camp so many times that people thought I was crazy and it never stopped me. So to summer camp.
To summer camp. I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, wow. So something that I want to touch on that has, you know, a little bit more to do with your music. I think this is from your website. There's a quote that you said, "I finally found a way to make music that is open to all people." Ooh. And I think, you know, with the summer camp industry and like with the work that we're doing with ACA and what camps are doing all across the country is, and you and I talked about this before recording, is this desire to make camp experiences as widely available and accessible to as many kids and adults as possible. So how does, that's an incredible value for us and for summer camp. What does that mean to you, whether with camp or with mm-hmm. your music? How does that inform your music? How does that inform how you approach the way that you operate in the world as an artist, as just anything really?
Well, I think really it's about inclusivity, mm-hmm. which we're finally now, I think, as a society starting to really appreciate inclusivity and appreciate people who we don't even share things in common with.
Yeah.
I firmly believe, and we talked about this before we even started the conversation, every kid deserves to go to summer camp. When I would do some of my concerts, there'd be like 500 people in the crowd and I'd be like, who's ever been to summer camp? And like maybe 150 people would put their hands up. And I'd be like, who hasn't been to summer camp? And like 350 people would be like sheepishly putting their hands up.
Yeah.
I'd be like, that's too many people. I'm like, welcome to summer camp, right? And to me, like when I say I finally found a way to make music for all, I think my music is just an extension of the extremely life-changing experience and lessons that I had at summer camp. Mm. Like summer camp for me, summer camp saved my life. Like I'm not gonna lie, like I found everything that mattered to me at summer camp. And so I desperately want everybody else to have that. Whether that's in the form of music, in the form of a song, in the form of a community on like a social media platform, or an actual like physical summer camp, or like a touring experience, like I try to provide, you know, it's why I call the tour the summer camp tour. Like, I think giving people something that makes them feel like they're at summer camp is so special. We had this phrase at our camp. They said, take camp home, right? Mm-hmm. And I never really understood what that meant as a kid. Like I always thought like, okay, like what do you want us to like do serenade night at home? You want us to do yeah. night at home? Like I don't have enough friends for that at home. Like I don't have, you know, like what does that even mean? So as a kid, like the way I internalized that as a child was, okay, when I get home, like meet up with my camp friends, like just do what we do at camp, but do it at home. And cause like that made me feel good. Like I still have camp, even when I'm in Virginia, right? And camp's in Pennsylvania. But I realized once I got older, it's not what it meant at all. What it meant was we have this beautiful experience at camp, right? We learn about love, service. It was a church camp. We learn about faith. We learn about community. We learn how to love ourselves and love others. And as beautiful as it is, right? This bubble that we have here in the mountains of Pennsylvania, right? We don't want to keep it a bubble. Mm-hmm. The whole point of taking camp home was, don't make this a bubble. Take everything you learned here, bring it home. Give it to people who are not from this camp. Give it to your friends from school. Give it to the people you meet. give it to your cousins, your mom, your dad, your family even. And I think that that's what I mean when I say I make music for all. Like, I'm trying to take camp home. I'm trying to give not just to my community of people. I'm not trying to just preach to the choir, because what's the point in that? You know, I'm trying to give a message of love and unity and self-love that connects with people of every, you know, age range, race, sexuality, faith, of any demographic. Like, so to me, that's by making music for all, that is the number one way that I can take camp home my entire life. Like, I'm always at camp as long as I am giving music to everybody and not just keeping it for this group. So It's funny you picked up on that, because that's really like, that's really the core ethos of what like summer camp means to me.
I love that. And that's such a good point too, that you touched on this idea of taking camp home. And I think that that's what we hear like at the end of every summer. And it sounds fantastic, because I remember at my own summer camp, we sang this song. I don't remember specifically what it was, but it had these lines of like spending your summer like at the peak of the mountain. And then like at the end of the song, it's like, but now I need to leave the mountain and go back into the valley. And it was so sad. But at the same time, it's like, I want to take all of this with me. And I think on one level, it's like, okay, from a very tangible perspective, I can like take my favorite camp songs and just sing them at home. I can play my favorite activities. I can do the line dances that I love. I can spend more time outside, because like, that's super important too.
Yeah, it's all camp. It's all camp.
Yes, but I think that kind of what you're talking about is something that is much richer, and something that is much, I mean, it's like the intangible, and it's something that's on a much deeper level, and that in many ways has a much longer impact. I think that you've done such a beautiful job of continuing that in just the way that you live your life and through your music, and obviously through your tour, which I want to talk more about in a second. But what are some other ways? And we're always encouraging families and campers to kind of keep that spirit of camp going all year long. What are some ways, some practical ways, just some easy ways that you think that our listeners, just anybody, can kind of keep that spirit of camp going beyond the summer?
Some practical ways to do it. I think it just depends on like, what was your experience at summer camp, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody's summer camp is different. I think one thing you can do is to incorporate the, like your favorite parts of camp into your life. You know, like if, like I said, we had cabin times at my camp. At the end of the night, we had this, like, you know, that you go off as a small group, your cabin and the sister cabin, and you'd have like some like really deep, like heartwarming conversation. Like, we had group chats now, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can literally name your group chat cabin time, like, and you can like, and it doesn't have to be the kids from your summer camp and you, it could be like your friends from school, but like, you could teach people like, hey, like, let's, it doesn't have to be every night, but like, let's couple times a week, like have like a heart to heart, you know? And like, initially, I know people who aren't from summer camp will be like, bro, like, this is weird, bro. Like, let's just like chill. Like, why are you getting, it's too deep. Right.
Right.
Say that as a defense mechanism. But they really want it. Mm. And only once you sort of trick them into seeing that they do want it, they will sort of drop their guard down. I think that's one way. I think practical ways to bring camp home. I think staying in touch with the people from camp, you know, like, and I don't mean like that's the only people you should talk to, you know, because I did as a camper, I did it the worst way. Where I came home, I ditched all my school friends and I was just constantly on the phone with my camp friends. And that's not the way to do it, you know, because I didn't understand yet about taking it home. But I think there is a beauty in staying in touch with your camp friends. Mm-hmm. I think there is a lot of virtue in keeping that connection to them, even if they don't live in the same state or the same area, like just, you know, building on those relationships. They don't have to stop when, you know, it's departure day. And then it's like, all right, I'll see you in, you know, 11 months and in 2 weeks. Like, you can stay in touch. Like, this is the digital age. We have group chats and social media and FaceTime and Like, it's so easy. It's remarkable. It's so much easier than when I was a kid. Like, right. Like, this is the easiest time ever to stay in touch. I think like, there's also, this is a weird way of doing it, but you can take like mementos from camp, you know, like, I'm not saying steal from camp, but like,
right. But like, to be clear,
they were tearing down a cabin at my camp. Right. Cause they were rebuilding new cabins. So there's a mirror back there. I put like the good vibe sign over it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a mirror from, and then you see, there's also a, oh no, I didn't hang it up. Why didn't, oh no, no. You see it up there. Cabin 32, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. I do see that.
So there was a mirror from cabin 32. And as a 10-year-old, homesick Anise looked into that mirror, that exact mirror. And we're talking about like 2003, probably. Mm-hmm. I looked into that exact mirror. I remember crying and I'm like, you're never coming back. You're never coming back. That exact mirror stopped coming for like 4 or 5 years. Right. Yeah. I decided to come back in like my like sophomore year of high school and never stopped going. Right. When they were getting ready to tear that cabin down, I was like, oh no, 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 no. Like, I wanted that mirror because to me, that mirror, when I look in it, is a reminder that the things you tell yourself, the like, if I would have actually listened to myself, you're never coming back here, what that would have meant to me, right? Mm-hmm. Like what that would have meant for my life. So I went there to grab that mirror as like a reminder to never stay good on bad promises that you make to yourself. Like never stay true, like break the rules that you made for yourself that don't serve you. Like, and you don't have to take a mirror from a broken down cabinet to camp, but like you can make a craft at camp. You know what I'm saying? Like you can, mm-hmm. like, I think there's different ways to do it. Like you can also, mine is a church camp, right? Like you can pray for your, no matter what your faith is, right? It could be any type of camp, but like you could pray for, you know, your friends at camp. You can stay in touch that way. Like, I think there's just so many ways to keep camp alive. But the most important way is to bring that energy of camp to people who aren't even from your camp. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's the number one way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Something you mentioned kind of with the mirror and telling yourself that like you weren't coming back and then kind of pushing through that and breaking through reminds me of one of the incredible lessons or maybe skill sets developed at camp is this idea of resilience. And especially in light of the pandemic and even just in a society that is so digitally focused. And like, we know, like, obviously we're able to have this conversation because of digital
right.
technology and all that. And it's wonderful, but I think that kids need camp now more than ever.
Yes.
And one of the pieces of that is that they can build some of those skills, such as the connectedness, the taking risks, of course, but also finding that resilience within themselves and to overcome those difficult things, or kind of like you said, to recognize and to have the courage to let go of things that do not serve them.
Yes.
How do you think that that's played out in your own, whether in your own camp experience or, you know, thinking to your decision to leave a law practice, and maybe it shows up today in the music industry. How does that show up in your life? And what advice would you give to folks or to campers or to camp staff who maybe, I don't know, who maybe could use a dose of resilience, whether around camp or anything?
I think as a 10-year-old, when I looked in that mirror and I said, you're never coming back to camp, I made a promise to myself that I would eventually grow up and realize was a terrible promise, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we still do this as adults. We decide certain things for ourselves, and then we convince ourselves that we have to be the version of ourselves that we were 2 years ago when we made this decision, a year ago, 6 months ago, 2 weeks ago, 5 minutes ago. And I'm a big believer, and I preach this in my music, like, you are the person you are right now in this present moment. You don't have to be anybody you were before. You don't, I mean, you can net, you can completely, you are not stuck in the box that you created for yourself. and the past is in the past is dead. Like right now is the only moment. So I don't care what you did in 2014, 2017, 2020, last week, what promises you made to yourself, what negative affirmations you told yourself, what boxes you had created around yourself. I had created boxes for myself in life. And thank God, eventually I woke up and was like, I don't have to live in this box. Like I can be unboxed and unchained and free and independent. And I think my advice to everybody would be just to realize that like right now is the moment. You know, you can be whoever you want to be. And we learned this at summer camp. Like every moment at summer camp is a chance of growth. You know, you don't have to be the person you were before. And you don't have to make good on the promises that you made before if they don't serve you now. You don't have to make good on the commitments you made before if they don't serve you now. Like, you know, you're a dynamic person. Mm-hmm. You're not static. You're not black and white. You move in not just a linear way. You have this freedom to flow. And so I think that would be my advice to people, you know, like just give yourself that freedom, recognize you have that freedom. If I would have listened to 9-year-old Anise who said, you're never coming back to this place, and 15-year-old Anise, if 15-year-old Anise never defied that 9-year-old, I'm not here with you right now. I'm not making music. I don't have any of the friends I have. Like my life is very, very different. And I don't even want to know what it looks like. Like, thank God I didn't listen to my former self. And so,
right. So
I think that would be it. Like, just realize that's your former self. You right now, you are free to do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Whew. I don't know who needed to hear that, but I sure did. So thank you.
Of course.
Yeah. I think it, yeah, that's beautiful. There's so much grace and just gentleness and kindness in that. And yeah, I think that's so true. Okay. We have to talk about your music some more, especially the summer camp tour. And you've talked about it some when you were thinking about, now, was this your first tour?
So it was like two parts of one tour. I did the summer camp East Coast tour in July and then the West Coast tour in the fall. So both of them kind of make up my first tour.
Yes. And then did you know, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Second of all, did you know when you were thinking about a concept for your tour that you wanted it to be about summer camp?
Yeah. I just like, to me, summer camp, like I said, summer camp saved me, you know? And I genuinely know, like I try not to forget about the pivotal moments of my life. I try to hold on to them and always remember them and learn from them. Thank God I went to summer camp. Like, oh my God, I have like a deep sigh of relief of like just imagining, like, thank God I didn't choose not to go. And thank God my older sister like pressured my parents to send me. And like, yeah. You know, like I think I never doubted that, like, yeah, it's music and yes, it's a tour, but I want it to feel like summer camp. Mm-hmm. Like and I'll tell you why, like, even like this is a sneak preview. So I guess hopefully not too many people see this, but the intro to my album is going to be called Summer Camp. And it's this song that I made that feels like summer camp. And on the first half of the tour, we played it and it was the way we opened the show. And it just felt right. It just felt so right. Like I just looked in the room and I saw how excited they were standing in that crowd. And it was the exact same feeling I had on arrival day when you've waited all year to go back to camp and you sit down. And for us, we sat down in like this big pavilion and you look around and you're like, I made it. Like I'm back for the next 2 weeks. Like everything is just going to be perfect. Like this is what I waited. And that's exactly how the beginning of my show felt, especially as we played that song. So not only did I never doubt the whole summer camp theme, but once we really like put it into effect, I was like, it's confirmed. Like this is, we got to do this every single show.
Oh, that's the best. That's the best feeling too. And just like buzzing with possibility and excitement. Yes. I love it. So you really are kind of living out that idea of summer camp all year long.
Take it home. By the way, everybody can. Like it's not just me as an artist. I understand like I have a very creative career and you know, there's so much range for me to do whatever I want, but in every way, I think everybody can be at summer camp at all times, whether you work in finance or law or medicine or you know, the arts or whatever, like journalism, like it doesn't matter. Like you can find ways. You never have to give up on summer camp. You never have to leave summer camp. You might not go to the campground, right? You might not be in Pennsylvania or New Jersey or Mississippi or Michigan or wherever it was that you went to summer camp, but that exact same experience can be channeled everywhere. And this is a lie we tell ourselves, that it's like, oh, well, that's camp and this is real life. No, that is just a lie we tell ourselves because we don't want to put in the work, because it takes work and it takes discipline to create. It's easy to do summer camp at summer camp. Mm-hmm. It takes work to bring that same energy, that same love, that same spirit into your quote unquote real life, because not everybody in your quote unquote real life has ever had that before. So when you're giving them something so novel, they're not going to immediately like understand it. But if you're consistent, if you're persistent with it, they will gravitate to it, because everybody, summer camp really is love. That's what summer camp is. And everybody yearns for love. And so if you're persistent with offering summer camp love to everybody in your life, they will take to it. And like a candle spreads a flame to the next, you can create a fire. Like, I genuinely believe that you can have it no matter where you live. I'll give you an example. My best friend, Jason Catanese, he was my Christian ed teacher at summer camp, right? He was never my like actual counselor, but in a weird twist of events, he wasn't even on staff that summer and he got called in to work just my session. We built a relationship. He goes home, does Teach for America, right? Which is an incredible like service. And he does it in Phoenix, Arizona, in an underserved community of Maryville, where it's a lot of first generation Mexican American kids, the vast majority of which nobody in their family's ever been to college. They don't really understand how to get to college themselves, so they're not getting to college. He teaches them middle school, but he's realizing all of his students, as bright and brilliant as they are, they're not getting to college after his class because there's no access, right? And they don't understand it, and their family doesn't understand it. Mm-hmm. What does he do? He creates a summer camp. He works night and day, endlessly, building inroads with the Arizona government, the Board of Trustees of Arizona State University, me, and a lot of our best friends he recruits. And then we created a summer camp called Camp Catanese, and we do it in Phoenix, Arizona at ASU West. And Arizona State helps fund it and provide for it. And like, we have like, you know, donors that are extremely generous. And he did everything it took to create this summer camp. He literally built, like, this is the next level. This is not like me where I'm just like calling it a summer camp tour. Like, he made a summer camp. And like, now 99% of our students get to college. And
wow.
And like, we took the model of our camp, repurposed it for the, you know, college access. And I'll tell you what, this is the perfect example of what I was just saying, that you can take summer camp wherever. We've served thousands of campers. Like I said, first generation Mexican American kids from the Phoenix area. None of them had ever been to summer camp. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? So this was as foreign to them as it is to your friends at home, right? And in 6 years, we've created this, you know, unstoppable camp, where now camp to them is just a norm, right? Just like it is to me at my camp in Pennsylvania. It's like the ultimate concrete, irrefutable proof that you can bring camp everywhere, whether you're literally building a summer camp or you're just giving that spirit to your people. So there's no excuses.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And wow, that gives me chills just hearing that. That's so inspiring. And just
shout out Jason. He's a hero. He really is a hero.
Yeah. Oh, but you're right. It's work, but it is so, so worth it. And so yeah. I hope that is what people take away from this conversation. And it's, my goodness, I don't know where our time has gone, and I could ask you so many questions. I think
we'll have to run it back another time.
That's right. Yes, we'll do a part two. But this has been so, so fantastic, Anise. Thank you so much for all of this. And I want to, before we wrap up here, of course, we need to know, what is next for you? Are we doing another summer camp tour? Can we go back to camp with you? What's coming up next?
I think if there's a possibility, there will be a winter camp.
Okay.
You know, because winter camp is also something I grew up going to. And if not, there might be enough, there's definitely more tours. And I'm not opposed to them being summer camp tours. I'm not opposed to like keeping this theme going, because there's just nothing more important to me than to give summer camp to the world. And I encourage everybody watching this to do the same. But yeah, that's what's next for me. I'm dropping an album in February, and it's called Summer Camp. The intro is called the Summer Camp intro. Although I might name it something different. I might name it Arrival Day. Now that I'm on this call with you, I think I might name it Arrival Day.
Wow. Okay. You heard
that it. Might make more
heard
sense.
It here first, folks.
I think that might make more sense for the theme. And then maybe the last track on the album will be like, I don't know, Departure Day. Maybe that's too much. Either way, that's what's coming next. Album in February, a couple songs coming, one in December, one in January. And then, yeah, I'll hit the road again, probably in the spring. Probably start with the East Coast, since it's been, since I've done the West Coast more recently. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably do the East Coast. So if you live anywhere near like, from like Michigan over to the coast, you know, down to like maybe even Florida, come through. You know, I know there's a lot of ACA camps in that area. I worked at an ACA camp. I went to the ACA conference in 2015 as a head counselor. So I know the vibes. Everybody's welcome. It's inclusive of every single person, no matter what kind of camp you grew to or didn't go to, and no matter where you come from.
So true. So true. Anise, in the meantime, where can people learn more? Where can they find you? Where can they listen to your music? Where can they stay up to date so we are aware of when this album drops and when your tour dates are announced?
It's just Anise on all platforms. A-N-E-E-S. That's my name. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen, just go ahead, find me on those platforms. Maybe turn on the notifications so that when I do announce the tours and the albums and stuff, you'll find out. So thank you so much for having me, by the way. And it's an honor. This is like the perfect conversation for me as an artist, because really I hope I'm sure I made it abundantly clear, but like summer camp is everything to me. So this is very special.
Yes. Yes. So well said. You are an absolute light and a joy and so needed in this world. So keep doing what you're doing.
Likewise. Much love. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of the Camp Wire podcast. If you haven't done so already, please be sure to like and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, and keep up with the American Camp Association across all social media platforms at ACA Camps.